ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Finkel. Welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. What a show, what a show I have in store for you today. Now listen, there's a lot to talk about, to get to in the state of wrestling this week. I forgot to go through the hashtag time machine matches. I just realized just now. Wait another week and I'll announce the two winners of the Katie Linendahl Sam Roberts joint venture contest. That'll be next week. Don't worry about that. In the meantime, get a Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast t-shirt or a Sam Roberts t-shirt or a What's the Haps t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts. Get them now. Get them in time for WrestleMania, because if I see you at WrestleMania and you're wearing one of my t-shirts, you're going to get a hug. You're going to get a hug and a high five. Even if you ask me not to do it, I'm doing it anyway, to the point of assault. You're going to have to call the police if you don't want it to happen, because it's happening. Speaking of happening, this show is going to be a happening. Got to talk about stuff in the state of wrestling. Of course, Fastlane happened over the weekend. There's a big Give Divas a Chance movement happening online. We know the main event for WrestleMania now is indeed Roman Reigns, and we wonder what of Daniel Bryan. All of that to get to today in the state of wrestling. First and foremost, I want to talk about my guest this week. Now, of course, there's competition in the podcast world, especially in the wrestling podcast world. I don't find myself in competition with any of the wrestlers who do podcasts. I just talked to Colt Cabana at the Pro Wrestling Syndicate show in Rahway over the weekend and introduced him to my wife and credited him as the father of the pro wrestling podcast. You know, I've talked to JR many times. Chris Jericho and I were just having interactions on Instagram the other day, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. What more is there to say about maybe the best of all of them? You know, there's so many good. Taz. I listen to Taz's podcast. I think that the wrestling fan podcast is different from the wrestler podcast. And I think, you know, if you want that, you go there. If you want a wrestling fan podcast, you go here to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. And I bring that up because probably I put myself in the top two fan wrestling podcast in terms of, interviews, in terms of, I mean, I like that I like the product. I think that, you know, there's a lot of good podcasts out there, but a lot of them don't like wrestling. They complain about wrestling the whole time. That's not me. So I think what I've got going on here is a good spot for wrestling fans to kind of sit in on a discussion about wrestling. And I think the guests that have been coming through this podcast have been pretty amazing. One of the few podcasts that, sure, I feel some competition with, but I also give a lot of credit to is a very good podcast, and a podcast that I've done work with in the past is Cheap Heat. I've known Peter Rosenberg for 7 years. I met him at WrestleMania 24 in Orlando. We were both from New York. We were both kind of new. 7 years ago, I was, I don't know, 3 years deep in radio. He wasn't too much further along than that. But we were both coming from New York to Orlando to experience WrestleMania 24, and that's where we first got to know each other. And when you meet people in media that are involved as into wrestling as you are, those connections just tend to stick. And Rosenberg is one of the few that do a great job with this wrestling thing in terms of coverage. His co-host is, of course, David Shoemaker, whose work on Grantland is amazing. And I've interviewed him in the past for his book and all that stuff. So Rosenberg and I have a very good relationship. Friendly competition, but we also help each other out whenever possible. I do his podcast. I planned on having him do my podcast. Rosenberg was hosting a party for Fastlane here in the city. He invited me to come out. I said, I'm not getting paid to do this. I'm not getting top billing on this. It's not the Sam Roberts party. It's the Peter Rosenberg party. But you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to have a good time with my wrestling geek friends. And it was a blast. It was a blast. They do them, I guess, every pay-per-view. they promote these pay-per-view parties in the city, and it was a really good time. You could see photos on my Instagram from the events. I was wearing my Brie Mode t-shirt. But at the party, I said to Rosenberg, dude, why don't you come on the podcast this week? You know, it's about time we talk about this. Why don't you come on? He goes, yeah, I'll do that. Peter Rosenberg is great friends with Mark Henry. Mark Henry shows up. Mark Henry shows up unannounced, just like yours truly, Sam Roberts, at this Fastlane party. So this is why you never know what's going to happen in the world of pro wrestling. This Fastlane party that was just announced as simple Peter Rosenberg hosting has now become, you got Peter Rosenberg, you got Sam Roberts, and the most illustrious of them all, you got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, all sitting around watching a pay-per-view. And it was pretty incredible to see Mark Henry's level of interest in this thing. Well, Rosenberg comes up with the idea, hey, Mark's not doing anything tomorrow. He's very good friends with Mark Henry. He goes, why don't I bring Mark with me and we'll both do the podcast? I said, Rosenberg, that is a fabulous idea, because now I don't have to pretend to be interested in what you have to say. Mark Henry's going to be our buffer. An amazing opportunity to talk to Mark Henry. This is a guy who, one of the very, very, very few, really the only guy who has spanned through the generations of the locker room. He's the only guy, really, I mean, besides Triple H, who's there now, that was there when Shawn Michaels was on top and has been around the entire time. Even guys like Kane and The Big Show came a few years after Mark Henry. The fact that he's still there is amazing. The fact that he's performing, you know, he's out with an injury right now. But the fact that he's been performing at the level he's been performing at this stage in his career is really, for a guy that size, super, super impressive. So I was very, very excited to get a chance to sit down and talk to Mark Henry about his career and have good old Peter Rosenberg by my side. So for those of you that see the photos of the two of us hanging out at various wrestling events and wonder why on earth Sam Roberts and Peter Rosenberg don't do a podcast together, I guess this is a little taste of what that may sound like, because my guests on the plural, on the podcast are the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, alongside my pal Peter Rosenberg from Hot 97 and Cheap Heat. Let's get to the interview.
And now, the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast interview.
Getting very familiar. Listen, the other night, over the weekend, I'm sitting there watching the Fastlane pay-per-view with my pal Rosenberg from the Cheap Heat podcast. Welcome, Rosenberg.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
My rival podcast.
That's right.
Cheap Heat.
Yep.
Mm. And I go, you know, I'm not doing anything for the podcast this week. You should come on. And then Mark Henry rolls in. And then Rosenberg goes, what if I bring the world's strongest man with me? And I go, all right, Rosenberg. Matter of fact, you don't even need to come.
I know. I said, are you sure you still want me to come? I can just have Mark Henry go.
Yeah.
But you said, no, come and sit there and pretend like I want you there.
Yeah, I was being polite. I didn't know you were actually going to show up.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well, it's cool.
Like I said, I found that you have internet here. So now you can talk to Mark freely and I can...
Perfect.
I can hang out and chime in occasionally.
Yeah. Whenever I get something
wrong. And then I can tweet.
And then if I talk, yeah, Mark, you can tweet. And I do want to say that everyone should subscribe. If you enjoy the Sam Roberts show, wrestling podcast. If you enjoy professional broadcaster Sam Roberts...
Why don't you wait and do something before you plug your shit? Like, give them a reason to listen to it.
My shit's awesome, bro.
Yeah, but
they
nobody...
already know.
You're right, they do.
I was a guest on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast last week.
By the way.
Out of town.
And I'll talk to you about that, because you know what I want? I don't know if you know this, Mark Henry, but Rosenberg... And we're not going to talk about Rosenberg very much. But Rosenberg told me a while back, he didn't even watch WWE during the Attitude Era.
He's right.
So I don't know what he's doing pretending he's the biggest Stone Cold fan when he didn't even see...
I missed it the first time.
Stone Cold when he was around being Stone Cold.
He's a YouTube Stone Cold fan.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I made up...
Man, I watched Stone Cold on YouTube last night.
Yeah, he's brand new to me. I'm a fan right now.
I drink beer now because of Stone Cold.
That's it. You're a $9.99 Stone Cold fan.
Oh, how dare you.
Yeah.
No, you're right. But listen, you were going to do his podcast before me, really. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up getting flubbed.
Right.
And then I came in and stole it.
It's true.
And now I'm like the first of us Marks to get interviewed by. So, but you've pulled a lot of great things.
Technically, am I Mark too?
Yes, you are Mark.
You were hanging out. That's what I was going to ask
you. I got to say, last night you were Mark and a Mark last night.
Yeah, man, I listen, I love the business.
You do.
I will watch wrestling until they put my ass in the ground.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether I'm involved. I mean, I love it. The reason that I'm in it is because I loved it.
As a kid.
Right. And Vince saw that and was like, hey, well, tell him to come in. Let's see if he would like to do this.
But you never had any aspirations to do it.
No.
You were a power lifter.
I was a lifter.
And that's what you wanted to do.
My goals was to be the strongest guy on earth.
Uh-huh.
Check. Done. He did it. And he did it.
And you did that.
You know, I think I should have dreamed bigger.
How
do you dream bigger than being the fastest man, the strongest man, the smartest guy, whatever?
Right.
But it's like, I want to do a lot more now.
You still have that thing in you where, and I guess that's that athlete thing where you want to be the best. You wanted to be the world's strongest man. You did it. Then you wanted to come and say, well, I'm going to go to WWE. I want to be a world champion. You did it. So now do you still have that competitive thing where you want to find something you can be the best at?
I still got it. I mean, it's. I want to be able to evolve my website to where people could come and say, man, Mark Henry's doing this, Mark Henry's doing that. How the hell did he get involved in that? Like, I want people to have shock. Like, how does he even know that person?
I gotcha.
You know, like Mark Cuban told me a long time ago, he said, if you use the contacts in your phone, you'll be successful. And I was like, what does he mean by it? He's so encrypted in the way he talks to you sometimes.
Like, he'll tell you the information, but he won't explain it to you.
Right, he's not going to explain. He's
right.
Smart. Like,
right.
I mean, he's a smart, smart guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surrounded by smart people all the time.
That's right.
But there's some people that's like, we just talked about being transcendent and something. Like, I just came in the lobby and there's like these stars down there.
Yeah.
I have no clue who they were.
Right.
But it was such a big huddled mass of people that they were somebody, and I didn't know, but they didn't know who I was.
Right.
I walked right by, and I was like, that's a big black dude. and that was about it.
Right.
But I want to be that transcendent guy.
You do.
I'd love to be on that billboard that Kevin Durant was on out there in Times Square.
So part of it is, like, you're hungry now for fame, because you don't get into powerlifting for fame, I wouldn't think.
No, that was for the sheer competition.
In it for the competition. I wanted to be the best.
So what happens now? You end up wrestling. You get a taste of the fame through WWE, and you're like, this, I want to be more famous. I want to be richer. I want to be more.
Everybody wants to be richer.
Of course.
To be able to get to the point to where you do stuff, you wake up in the morning and you brush your teeth and comb your hair. Of course, you didn't comb your hair.
I mean, I don't.
But
have that problem.
No comb. Shake it out and do something to it.
Yeah.
But after you do all that necessary stuff to be able to stand in somebody's face, I want to be able to go and help somebody else.
So what's the next thing? What is it that you want to do next? Wrestling's not done.
No, not at all.
So, but what is the thing that you're looking at? Like, where is this website going to take people? What is the?
I want people to see more of the philanthropic side of me. I want to be able to support the issues. You know, like I've worked with the WWE for the last 20 years and the Boys and Girls Club and Special Olympics and Wounded Warriors and but I love those charities and I'm going to continue to work with them. Until I could work no more, and then I can like hire somebody to work for me.
Right.
But there's some issues and some charities and some organizations that I want to support on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just because I feel some kind of way about them.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And you know, after school programs and you know, some socioeconomical groups.
So you want to leave a footprint. Like, damn, look at everything this guy.
In the Black History poster.
Right.
They got, like, Martin Luther King. And I want to be, like, I'm not going to be up there.
You want, like, two columns down.
I just want, you know, give me two or three spaces down.
Right.
Give me, put me in.
Now, like, maybe you're not going to get an Academy Award-nominated movie.
Not yet. I don't know.
No. We don't know. Well, that's what I was going to ask, Sam.
Because I want to do film. Well, that's what I was going to say. TV.
Mark, what's the most logical thing, though? Like, I think that Mark, in my personal opinion, I know you pretty well.
To be an arm breaker for the mob.
That's an easy job.
Right.
I think that Mark Henry could be.
You have that skill set.
You made the joke once. You were like, it's about to be over for every big black dude in Hollywood. I'm coming. And I don't see why, with how big you are and how unique you look, and the fact that you are let's not forget, you're a professional athlete and you're a professional actor.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like
a performer.
You're a natural performer. It seems like that should be an easy thing.
I love to perform. I want my name in lights.
To express yourself.
But, you know, I don't know if with my accent and with my level of knowledge of acting, mm-hmm. if I'm going to run out there and the 10,000 people that make up Hollywood, people think that Los Angeles
right.
is Hollywood. Los Angeles is not Hollywood. Los Angeles is like New York. It's a big, giant city.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood is a business.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably about 10,000 people that make up Hollywood.
Right, right. Five buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a lot of people. Then you have, like, the agents, and you have people that can get you to people.
Right.
And then you got trainers and coaches and stuff. But it's 10,000 people.
Right.
It's not that big.
But how much?
Every last one of them to know who I am.
And?
Damn it.
That's right.
How much better? I was just thinking about, did you see the trailer for Amy Schumer's movie Trainwreck that John Cena's in?
Yeah.
How much better would it have been if you're on top of her in bed? That's hilarious.
For her, it'd be awesome.
You shouldn't have said that. You
don't even give that option.
My wife would be like, you better be acting.
No, exactly.
Baby, I act she would all
know,
the time.
The problem is she would know that you wouldn't be acting. That's the problem. She knows you too well.
No, honey, I'm very good at it now.
It depends on if she was not able to act.
Right.
If you had to coach her through it.
Just act like this is not hurting you.
So when you were a power lifter, did you have that desire to still perform? Like was there a void that was like I'm not getting enough done by just lifting these weights and impressing people?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why Vince and people, you know, reached out to me, because I didn't just lift weights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came in, I performed, I got the crowd involved, I jumped up and down, and I told people I can't hear him. I act like I was Hulk Hogan.
Right.
You know, I was a kid. I wanted to leave a mark and have fun, too.
And Vince saw that. Like, he saw the performer.
This dude's a natural entertainer. Like,
right.
You need to go get him, you know, and I'm happy to be the first developmental wrestler there ever was, but... Also, I got thrown to the wolves, too.
Well, I was going to ask, what was the locker room like? Because
they
now,
hated my guts.
Because now developmental is a thing.
It's
everybody
a thing.
Goes
totally
through.
Different than
yeah.
It's totally different.
Like I told the kids, I just came from Orlando 2 weeks ago, and I told them, y'all got it good.
Yeah.
Y'all lucky. Y'all are not getting food, have a food box and open it up and there's shit in it. Y'all
is that human shit?
Yes.
Human shit, nice.
Did you ever find out whose it was?
No.
Why'd X-Pac do that?
Of course exactly. I would never find out. You know, I ended up in Canada for threatening people. And so that's, you know, it's...
Really?
It's a lot of things that went on that just never talked about. When I write my book, I'll put it in the book.
But, right. That's smart. Don't give it away for free on a podcast.
If I say a lot of the stuff that happened to me in my career, people would be like, no way.
So what
I'll feed you one, Sam.
Yeah, sorry. Feed me one. Please do. Please do.
Because you're not... The reason he went to Canada was because he was threatening Sean.
And this was when?
When Sean was in full dickhead
96?
Mode. Yeah, this
I was,
is.
I was an asshole, though.
You were both assholes, right? I mean, because Sean was pretty
mostly,
out of control then.
Mostly me.
Really?
Because this was when you were brand
ignorant.
New.
I had no idea what the locker room was about. Being the senior guy in the locker room, me and Kane now, if one of the young guys came and did half the shit I did, uh-huh. I would beat the hell out of him.
You would?
I would get fined. I'd probably get fired or suspended, but it would happen. And that's the way it was. That's the way it was then. And those guys couldn't whoop me.
Right.
So
and
they
you knew
hazed
that.
Me. And they wanted me out of there. They, you know, they.
And I would imagine that you're an athlete. You're a dude from Texas. Like, you're not going in to be the brunt of a joke. You're not going in to be the bottom of a totem pole.
I never have been.
Right. So
I went. I
so
went
you walk
from
in with
being,
a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, I went from being the best in the world at something.
Right.
And, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm helping y'all out. I'm bringing you up. And they like, you ain't did shit here.
Yeah. Like, you're
you
still
know,
in the motive.
Who did you ever beat? You know,
and you're sitting there, these guys are lucky that I'm here.
Right.
That I'm gracing
the
them.
Yeah. And.
What'd you do, though? What were some of the things you did in the locker room that if someone else did?
Talk.
That's like you're supposed to go in the locker room, shut up.
Right.
Until you spoke to. You. I mean, like now, when I hear people coming, I'm like, God dang. Man, I wish they would shut up. You know? And I was that guy, and it just, you know, I can't go back and erase the stupid stuff I did. Nobody can.
just going in there with an opinion about everything.
Yeah, man, I love sports, and we would talk sports, and I'd be like, you don't know what you're talking about. And who am I to go and tell, rant, like, you know, just to name somebody like a Ron Simmons.
Right.
You know, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, like.
And you know a lot about sports. This guy's like an encyclopedia of sports.
But you're not even talking about the business. You're talking about football or something like that.
Life.
Just
about,
anything.
Like, I had an opinion.
Right.
And, you know, in our industry, you're not allowed to have an opinion until you're asked about your opinion.
You got to earn your opinion.
You got to earn your right to voice your opinion. And I didn't. And that was the mistake that I made. But nobody told me. Nobody told me.
So how do you get sent to Canada? Does Sean go to Vince and say, we got to get him out of here? Does Sean do something stupid? Like,
well, it's more of you can't threaten people, you know, like, especially the top guy.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
You know, you got to be a moron, which I was to threaten them. You know, it was like some hiding my crutches because my ankle was broken and I was healing up, and I just didn't take kindly to the ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that had never happened to me before. Nobody never messed with me because they knew my reputation.
Right.
And I wasn't Mike Tyson or nobody, but, you know, I put a few people on the ground.
And I mean, you don't even need people to know your reputation. They can look at you and say, that man obviously has the ability.
But see, in wrestling, you want to entertain the locker room too.
Huh.
And there were guys, my favorite of all time locker room guys was Midian.
Oh.
I mean, I remember he was taking a nap one time on the floor in the locker room, and he acted like he was going to get up, and he put his hand up like he was selling somebody hitting him in the face or something. And then he lay down and went legit back to sleep.
Just to pop the locker room.
Just to pop the boys. And then he'd do it again. Like, and finally when he got up, it was like everybody just like the crowd.
Right.
And it's like that ability don't exist with everybody. It's only a few guys that have it.
Uh-huh.
And some guys have marginal talent, mm-hmm. but so much charisma and so much ability to grasp that your last bit of attention that they're transcendent performers.
So if you're threatening the top guy because your crutches are hidden, how do you react when there's shit in your food?
Oh, yeah. My God. It wasn't just me. Me and Dwayne were in the car together at the same time. And
you're talking about The Rock?
Yeah, we both got haze like that. I had all my gear put in the shower. Soaking
that's a
wet.
Standard. That's a pretty standard
boots,
issue, move.
Everything right. Yeah. Wet. Hiding your stuff. You know, I had a dark match. And all my clothes, I'm wringing my clothes out.
Uh-huh.
I got a dark match in 10 minutes.
And then you had to work with your boots soaking wet?
Yeah, trying to
soaking
shake off
wet.
The boots.
Pouring water out.
So then do you and Rock have to kind of sit there and be each other's brothers?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we both are literally, we have to eat shit right now. There's shit in our food. We kind of just got to put up with this.
Right. You just got to put up with it. The ribbon never stopped.
Did he get it more? Oh, sorry, Sam.
No, you go ahead.
Did he get it more because of his family?
No.
Like, he also didn't get it.
No, we both. No, he got it. He understood.
Right.
He didn't get the ribbon as much as I did.
Oh, but he understood it better.
But he understood the game, and he used to say, Mark, don't sell it. Don't react. And I'm like.
Oh, they're going to make it somewhere. You have to no sell it.
Yeah.
I'm very transparent.
Yeah, you're the worst. You're super transparent.
If I'm upset, everybody in the world know I'm upset.
I saw you the other night when we were watching Payback, you know, Fastlane. And it was one of these, it was a pay-per-view party, and Rosenberg was hosting it, and there were a lot of fans around and everything. And, you know, you were cool to show up and
take photos. And pretty aggressive fans. Like, not aggressive bad, but there was very in your face.
Some of them more than
others.
Yeah,
right.
But there was one guy who kept coming up to Mark and saying hi, and Mark looked at him and said, like, you know, still a smile on his face, but you could see in his eyes he's being sincere. He said, if we shake hands one more time, we'll be holding them all night. I shook your hand.
I would have held his damn hand until I left. Yeah. And I'd have squeezed every now and then just to let him know I still remember you.
Well, I've seen you do that before, though. Like, you're very honest about calling people out if they're doing something that's kind of starting to make you uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're also big on not being, you know that you're famous. I think you're one of my favorite. The way you handle celebrity, I think, is the best of just about anybody I know. You really enjoy it, and you're really gregarious with people. But when people treat you like you're an object for their affection, like entertainment,
right.
you don't take to that very well.
I am not Richard Pryor in the toy.
Right.
Right.
I'm not that.
Right. You're not there for amusement.
No, I'm there because, I mean, like a lot of people wouldn't do what I did.
Right.
They wouldn't go there because they know what they would be walking into.
Right.
I know what I'm walking into. And I'm gonna shake everybody's hand. I'm gonna say hi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna hug the babies. Mm-hmm. I'm like kiss the babies and hug the girlfriend.
And we know you'll hug the girlfriend.
Or vice versa. Yeah. But the thing is because I love being me. I love my business. I mm-hmm. love this industry. I love what it did for me, man. Like, I have no complaints about life. I know people have trouble in their marriages, have kids with handicaps. Financial difficulty. You know, we could sit here and name 100 issues. I have none of them.
Right.
How blessed am I? And it's because of professional wrestling.
And I believe that because I've interacted with a lot of people in every facet of the industry you could imagine, and almost none of them like wrestling anymore. And watching
you... Wrestling ate them up.
Right. But I'm watching you last night or the other night, whenever it was, and you're watching the show. You're like when Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan were wrestling.
You care.
I had to stand up.
I had
to get up. It's
states
stand.
Away. They're in Memphis doing their thing. We're back in New York watching on TV screens with fans, and you're as invested in that match as anybody in that building was.
Man, I love it.
So did you love it still, though, when you were going through like those early ribs? And was it still just like, as long as I can get in the ring, it'll be all right?
Brother, listen, I remember a time the Undertaker mm-hmm. was walking down the hallway to go to the ring, and I'm in the back. I'm an actual talent. I'm in gear, and I sat there and just shook my head like, that's the damn Undertaker.
Right.
I'm just tracing him. Just, I couldn't believe it.
And you're supposed to be where you are. Like, you're supposed to be there.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be here.
You work there.
I don't have a credential. I'm on the billboard.
Right. Right.
If you're not that, I told the guys in Orlando at the Performance Center,
mm-hmm.
if you can't put yourself in a place where you can humble yourself to the point to where I still watch wrestling and I act like my son.
Right.
My son... I'm Cody Rhodes. And he's throwing punches at curtains and
he's unbelievable.
Just
this kid's an encyclopedia
craziness.
Too.
I'm still the same way. And then like my wife would be like, Mark, tell Jacob to stop falling on the floor. And I told him, Jacob, stop taking bumps. You only got so many of those.
Yeah. Don't waste your bumps.
Yeah. And my wife's like, you're not helping.
Yeah, you're
not helping.
That's not the
point. And I'm a part of the problem, too, because I play wrestling. I don't just perform and am a wrestler.
Right.
I like to play with my son and enjoy it like he enjoys it. And it's awesome.
Well, I mean, and I think that's the way, you know, you should be if you can. Like, I try to be as motivated as I can be by what would I have thought was cool when I was 13. Like, if I was 13 and looking at myself now, would then I should do that. If I would have thought that was cool,
right.
I should go do that.
If you turn it down, I know this conversation you have in your head because the same ones I have because
right.
of our schedule.
Right.
So at night, if there's something you want to skip because you're just tired, but you think, man, if I had gotten the chance to do that, I would have never thought I'm going to skip it because I'm tired.
Right.
I got to go do it.
You got to do it.
You have to.
Yeah.
So how long were you in Canada for?
About a year and a month.
And is that you figuring out how to wrestle?
Going to learn.
Stu, locking in.
Etiquette.
Yeah.
Learning how to deal with other talent.
And when you're up there, are you going?
I met Andrew Martin up there.
Uh-huh.
Rodney Blackbeard, who was trained by Bad News Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And got to meet Bad News before I went to Canada. And just, you know, got trained by Leo Burke. it was everything was like a blessing in disguise. Bret Hart, I was at Bret Hart's house.
Oh wow!
And
he was eating cat shit off the table.
Some days I would go over to Stu's and go in the dungeon, and you know, you would see guys like Jericho up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like Fake Razor, Rick Titan.
Right, right. So when you're up there, though. Probably
who will
not
be in my book and some great stories.
Who, Fake Razor?
Yeah, I want to kill him.
I've always
but
wanted.
The law allows him to walk the earth,
and it's only the law.
That's all I'm gonna say about that.
He's got to
tell the book.
My forest gun. That's all I have to say about that.
Did he tell him to thank God that he lives in the United States of America? Because there are countries.
He is a lucky guy.
I can't wait to read it. When you were up there, at least at first, maybe were you sitting there thinking to yourself, "I'm like the best at what I do over here. I didn't sign with WWE to be sent to Canada to learn this thing. I should be on TV right now."
No, because Brett and Owen had got in my head by then. Excuse me. Those are the two people that I really, really liked because they ribbed me, but it was like, "Hey, Mark, we're going to go out to eat. If you want to go eat with us, you know, like, just meet us at 6 o'clock. And I would get there at 6 o'clock and dinner went until 8. Like, bastard.
Like light
ribbon. I've been here for 2 hours waiting on you.
But it was, but it
humbled. Did I tell you 6 o'clock? Oh, I'm sorry.
Every
you
time.
Know, that's Owen.
You
know,
right. Like, who better to teach you than Owen, too? I mean, he's the rib master.
He was the rib master. And I rib a little bit, but it's play.
Right.
What do you do? What's a rib you would use now on one of the younger guys? Is there anything
something
he comes
like
with?
That? I'd tell him to come out early or something like that. You know, nothing that's going to hurt you, physically
right.
hurt you or psychologically scar you,
right.
like some of the stuff that happened to me.
What did you think of when you came back to TV, you started Nation, Sexual Chocolate, this whole thing. When you started being used for comedy, were you cool with that?
I was.
You were?
But there were people that was like, "Hey, man, you shouldn't be cool with that." And I'm like, "Why not? It's entertainment." You know, like, I'm trying to
So you got that.
I got it. I always did. But there were some people that was so, they were like, "Man, you a big dude." When I look in, you know, Eddie Guerrero, God rest his soul, Eddie said, "Do you see what I see in the mirror?" He was like, "If I was you, I would be dead or in jail." And I was like, "Okay, it is pretty heavy, you know." But he was trying to tell me, you're not acting like we see you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish more than anything that he would have been able to see the Hall of Pain era.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
That's what he wanted from the beginning.
Yeah.
But the reason that people love my career is the evolution and where it came to and where it's come to.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I almost talked about myself in the past tense. That was scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like I understood, but I was having fun.
Right.
Like, a lot of people would sacrifice the fun to do something what everybody else wanted them to do. I've never been that guy.
It's all about fun. It's going back to what we were talking about.
Do you look at me and think that I could not have been a great football player? I was a pretty good football player.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you were on the Cowboys practice squad with Troy Aikman. I got to put him over, sir.
I mean, I would imagine not a lot's getting by you.
Not Jerry Jones. When I met Barry Switzer the first time, he came to my house to recruit me and my brother. And my brother ended up going to A&M. But he would always call every now and then, "How's that young boy?" You know, that was something that I loved. So in 95, you know, I was like, "Man, am I wasting it? Should I go back and play football?" And then around that time, Vince called. So it was like, should I go to Connecticut? My man, you know, Terry Todd, who pretty much managed me, he said, I think you should go up there and meet him.
Did Vince give you a lot of money right up front?
No. I got a guaranteed contract.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, but even that, in those days, a guaranteed contract.
They don't have, like, it's not like the NFL or
right.
basketball, but, where you get a signing bonus and all that stuff.
In 96, it was in 96, right?
Yeah.
In 96, was that still enough to get you heat? Because not everybody had guaranteed contracts.
Oh, I got big heat.
Right, and man, I guess that goes all along.
Some of those guys had been wrestling for 10, 15 years and had never made the money that I made. Just showing up.
Right.
Did you have an agent do your deal?
No. My manager and I figured out what my life's earnings would be in what I did, and me retiring from it and going toward, I would need to make at least this. And it escalated because of, you know, tax and
where you were going and all that. I want to talk about we were talking about the comedy and the entertainment and all that. What did you prefer? Your relationship with Mae Young or your relationship with China's friend Sammy? Because this is a quote. There's a few, like, sound bites that just ring in my head from the time I was a kid.
Sweet Jesus, he's got a penis.
That's it. And you don't know.
Nope.
You're a YouTube fan.
Don't even know that line. No, sweet Jesus got a penis?
I was in. Yeah. Imagine this. Picture this, if you will, Mark Henry. To be in high school, and you're just watching TV, and to see a guy that looks like Mark Henry going, sweet Jesus, she got a penis. She got a penis. I mean, it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen at that moment. So for me, that's my favorite of that era Mark Henry moment.
Wow.
That or Mae Young, if you have to choose.
I think Mae Young.
You like Mae Young, giving birth to the hand. And
still to this day, mm-hmm. the funniest moment of my life was being me, Vince, Gerald Briscoe, mm-hmm. Pat Patterson, at the birthing of the hand with Mae.
How does that get pitched?
Listen, I don't know. Still to this day, it's all a blur. But if you look at that video, if you go back and look at that, the whole time I am in complete pain laughing.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at Gerald Briscoe, who has a very weak stomach. You can say, right. Oh, my God, I think I see maggots. And Gerald Briscoe, stop, Mark. Stop. Don't do that. Like, and it was so funny to watch him, because if you see him, he hurls.
And it's real.
It is real, and I'm laughing, and I can't breathe, and I'm asking Vince, why? And he's laughing, and just like everything with Mae, God rest his, was awesome. The Valentine's Day, us in the hotel. And
yeah, Mae Young in her red little...
She in a camisole, you know, like people don't even wear camisoles.
No.
And, you know, she's got a cigar in bed and stuff. And,
yeah.
I mean, just like, man, we had so much fun.
Was it when she passed away?
Boy, that hurt.
And I was going to say, it had to be so different for you than the rest of the locker room.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, you talk about performing with somebody.
You guys really worked together.
Yeah, that was hard. It was hard. I couldn't even go to the funeral. I couldn't. I mean, I went to Owens, and it almost killed me. I just could not do that again. And my wife was like, you got to go. And I was like, I can't do it. I'll break down and end up in the hospital.
Man.
And it's rare that someone is so, you know, a lot of times when someone's really old and they pass away, people mm-hmm. are like, oh, well, it's old. You know, they were old, though. They had a good run. But obviously.
With her, it didn't matter that she was old.
Right. Well, I mean, I've talked to Bubba Ray Dudley was up here a while back, and he was talking about his stories with Mae Young and how she was ageless. She would say, hit me as hard as you're going to hit them.
Yeah. Listen, they gave her a power bomb through the table to the floor.
Yeah.
We got guys now that would not do that. Couldn't do it.
It'd right.
Put them in the hospital.
Right. And Mae Young gets up and walks out.
Gets up and walks out. Not carried out.
I think she even told him at some point when they were working on those things, she was like, no, you can do it harder than that. You're protecting me too much.
Yes.
It's not going to look real enough.
Yes.
Just, man.
So how is it?
She was special.
To go from, like, situations where you have that stuff going on, whether it's Sammy or Mae Young stuff or all this stuff, to the era that we're kind of in now, which is PG, like, as a performer, you're one of the few guys that made that transition. It's kind of you, Kane, and Big Show that got to see that era and this era fully. what is it like to perform now as opposed to then?
It's not more difficult or anything like that, mm-hmm. if that's what you mean.
Is it as fun?
It's as fun to me.
It is.
I mean, I can't speak for everybody else.
Well, I guess it also helps that you've had, like, during this sort of quote-unquote PG era, you've had, like, the hottest run of your career with the Hall of Pain.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the Hall of Pain is, even the Bent on Destruction is just as, important to mm-hmm. me because of what I've done with it. And people say that, you know, you're only as good as your last match.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a lot of bad matches.
Yeah.
Because I want to go and I want to be remembered every time if it is my last time.
Because you don't know.
I'm not out there just collect a check.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to say you don't have to pay me. I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
But I will do it for free.
Uh-huh. But don't tell them.
I know a lot of people don't tell Vince.
Don't tell Vince.
There's a lot of people that have. You know, there's a lot of people that do. That's one of the things about the indies that I love so much. I remember seeing Daniel Bryan
mm-hmm.
5 years before he came to the company.
Yeah.
Probably 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was entertainment in.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn, he was another one that I really liked a lot. El Generico, that was good
crazy
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's a veteran. These are guys who are practically veterans.
And the fact that Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen is now down there and they're doing that again is like, it's amazing to see.
He's going to be good too.
I think so. I think so for sure.
But I don't want people to get caught up into, I told him, I said, you are exactly what I am. It's in the sense that the way you look
mm-hmm.
is the way you're going to look.
Right.
Don't let people tell you that you have to have a six pack and look like John Cena to get it done. Like, there's a famous quote in Wesley Snipes played a character, Nino Brown,
mm-hmm.
in New Jack City. And Christopher Williams, pretty guy, handsome guy, all the ladies love him. And he stabbed him in the hand. He said, pretty son of a, I never liked him anyway. I realize I am not cute. I don't have to be cute. I have talent.
Right. That's what I like to tell myself, too.
Except
I'm working on it. I can confirm one of those two things about me.
Yeah, I got talent, and I don't mind getting dirty
mm-hmm.
if I have to get dirty.
When you were talking about, like, you know, make sure you wrestle these matches as if it were your last match, you've gone through periods in your career where you aren't doing much. Right now.
I mean, you've been injured
well,
now.
I'm hurt.
Yeah.
But I mean more like when you're going through the thing where you were teaming with MVP and it was like, well, we're not really doing anything with these
guys. What are you talking about, man? That was some good stuff.
It was good, but it wasn't
the
like
the Kool-Aid era.
The big red suit.
Red suit. I'm being at 440 pounds because I was in pain and I couldn't train. That's the thing that people don't understand. I don't have to, you know, I'll explain stuff when I'm done, but man, I was in so much pain. Mm-hmm. If I walked for more than 5 minutes, I would have to sit down because of how bad my knee and my ankle felt. Opposite legs.
Damn.
And meanwhile,
I rolled my ankle so bad that I couldn't put my boot on. And then my knee was destroyed.
So how'd you get your boot on?
Well, I mean, I had to wrap it, like tape it.
Damn.
I had to. You know, like, God, thank God, you know, for Chris Brennan and Larry Heck, mm-hmm. you know, our trainers, they would wrap my ankle so tight that I could only have it taped for 5 to 20 minutes.
Because it's cutting off the circulation.
Because it was going to cut the circulation off.
Man.
And I would get that boot on, and I'd be, like, out there doing our stuff, and nobody would be the wiser, but, you know, I couldn't train. I gained, like, 30 pounds during that year and a half period. Because all I was doing was limping to the locker room,
mm-hmm.
putting my gear on, stretching a little bit. I couldn't even really warm up. And slowly at the end, I started to heal up and I started to get better. And me and MVP started tagging in and out. Then it became like it was something, but it was Jericho time. So, you know, you got to do, you know, you got to know your role and shut your mouth, as The Rock said.
When that stuff is happening, though, when you're in that spot in your career, do you worry, all right, I hit my peak, like this is, I don't know if I'm going to get that back.
I never felt that way.
You didn't?
I never felt that way.
You said, I'm going to have time to get this back again.
That's the thing about our industry is you have to be able to do that. Nobody knew that the Hall of Pain was in me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew that the Bent on Destruction was in me. It was there. It just, you know, had to be brought out. And I enjoyed everything that was before that. But it was harder for me because I've lived my life kind of by the credo, don't make waves when, you know, the water's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hall of Pain leading up into that, there was a lot of frustration and angst, and it started to show in my work, and they were like, man, you look like a killer right now. And it started to, and I don't know, I don't even remember, the Hall of Pain just came out of me in that promo. That wasn't something that was scripted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Vince's genius is he will take your idea and he will make it something. You can't do it on your own.
Right. He'll turn it into a brand.
He'll make it. He'll make it run.
Right.
And that's why, like, you know, when I was in Orlando and I talked about creativity and psychology, like, that's something that needs to be more prevalent than just having a six pack.
Right. Yeah. It's something that people have to watch. Like, something compelling. Right. A story that I want to follow.
Let me feel something.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to also bring up
if you didn't, at Fastlane, if you didn't feel Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, you are dead inside.
Absolutely. I agree.
That was a good match.
And it's rare for that to happen inside of a match, too. It wasn't the promos. It was the match.
It was in a match.
Yes.
It was, man, them dudes earn their money. Earn their money live.
You talk about making people feel things. I have two Mark Henry quotes that, for some reason, just stay in my head. One, we discussed, she got a penis. Two, is
I know what this is.
I still got a lot left in the tank.
Classic.
Because you talk about a moment where you made people feel stuff. And this was going on at a time on TV where, like, me as somebody who's been watching for 25, 30 years, since I was a baby, you know, I give myself credit for when I was, like, born.
You should.
But me who's been watching as long as I've been watching nonstop Rosenberg.
I get it. Nonstop.
I'm kind of
very impressed.
There are moments where I get jaded and I'm watching TV going, like, yeah, you know. I know what the show is. I watch the show every week, but, you know, the show is the show.
I'll tell you sometimes.
Exactly. And then for you to come on.
Except when I'm out.
And do the fake retirement into leading up to this John Cena thing. Was that among the favorite things you've ever done in your career?
Definitely.
It was.
It definitely was. Like, the during that time, I was in some pain then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming off this, and I started to feel good again, and I was like, wow, man, I think maybe it's time to hang it up. And I legit thought, you know, this is it. Me being out here hurting, now I feel good. Is this what feeling good feels like? Oh, my God. I think I'm gonna just call it a game, call it a career.
Right.
And it got to the point to where everybody I knew felt that way. I mean, well, they didn't feel that way that I should retire. People were like, man, you don't need to retire. Like, cut it out. You're not going to retire. I'm like, yes, I am. And it was, you know, I've known Peter for close to 7 years now.
Something like that. Five years.
And when that time came, didn't you can look me in my face and tell that I was done.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was pretty sure the end was very near. I didn't think you were going to sign again. Right. I didn't know that you'd then have the last run that you've had. I wasn't sure. I'm never sure with you, though, because I think, just like everyone else who loves it, you can't let this go. Like, it's very hard for you to let go of this.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's real hard. But during that time, if you looked on the internet, it was Mark Henry's done and this, right. that, and the other, and all of social media and, you know, the people in entertainment that are wrestling, they were, like, convinced. Like, that was, it was over. So that was me in my soul without, I didn't need, I'm hardly scripted.
Right.
I like to do my own thing. The brain trust in our company, I love working with those guys. But the best advice Vince ever gave me was, go get it. Do it. You can't make a mistake if you're going 100 miles an hour. And that's the way I approach it. When I go to the ring, I cease to be Mark Henry and I become wrestling. I am in the embodiment of wrestling and sports entertainment walking to the ring. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real
you
to me,
believe
damn it.
It's still real to me.
It's still real to me.
I try to tell people it's still real to me too.
I know.
And that's why people say all wrestling is fake. That why it pisses me off, because mm-hmm. I am emotionally invested every step, every breath I take. And when I get there, I say what's on my mind, and that's the kind of stuff that comes out.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Hall of Pain. I got a lot left in the tank, and so on, and so on.
And that I got a lot left in the tank, you're not talking to John Cena. You're talking to everybody talking who's out there saying he's done.
But does right. it then frustrate you, though, the way it kind of can frustrate us as fans? You have that amazing promo. Then you followed up with a hell of a match on the pay-per-view at the Barclays. And then it's over.
Yeah,
and then they didn't do. We thought you had three pay per views with Cena or something.
I was going to ask the same thing. Were you disappointed it wasn't a run? It was a single match, and that's that. Like, you'd think that build, it was the strongest build to a match in a long time.
Right.
A lot of the reason that I've had an 18 year career and I wasn't a spot wrestler for one period or a little bit is I know when to interject, and I know when to step back.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
I love our fans, but our fans are not the ones that are producing an epic television show over a long period of time with 75 talent. 75.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably another 15 that could do it. They're just not completely ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who am I to stymie everybody else? I had a great run, and I got, like, I not to be funny, but I still got a lot left.
So you're not done, not by a long shot.
I'm not done at all. Until somebody can consistently beat my ass, I'm still here.
In other words, until it doesn't look like you believable.
I don't want to be the guy that comes back and I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, and I'm just another big guy out there in tight clothes.
Right.
If I ever feel that way, or one of my people that I trust their judgment says, man, you looking like an old dude out there, done.
Well, listen, I got a lot left in the tank myself, but I'm going to have to let you go. You got things to do. We all
got stuff to do.
But, dude, I could talk to you for another 2-3 hours easy. You're one of the guys that's seen it all and done it all. Appreciate you being here, Mark.
Oh, man.
And,
awesome.
I mean, Rosenberg, way to come through, pal.
Oh, I deliver.
That's certainly what I do.
That's what I do.
You know how much he just paid me to do that?
What a way. And by the way,
I'm going to collect. I hope you got his checkbook.
I got it.
You were at Peter Rosenberg's wedding. Is that right?
Yeah.
Fact.
My God. My God, you too.
My first.
Like a modern day odd couple.
By the way, I do want this to happen, though. And I want WWE to listen to me on this. Okay. They need programming for their network.
Don't start getting heat here on this podcast.
I'm not going to start
ready because, you know, everywhere he goes, he's a heat seeker.
I'm not going to attack anyone. I'm just saying, when Mark does decide that he's into the last 6 months or a year, if he can ever make that hard decision, like, this is it,
mm-hmm.
The network
mm-hmm.
needs to take cameras to his house in Austin with his beautiful family. And follow what it's like to have your last 6 months in the WWE. I think that would be compelling television.
It'd be
and
great.
Your family is so charming. His children are so adorable. His son is so obsessed. His son, who no matter what they do, is going to be a wrestler one day. I mean, I want Jacob to be able to do whatever he can. But the kid is, it's in him. It's like you can see it the second you see him. You see him shaking his head. Yeah. It's undeniable. I just think that would make fantastic TV.
You know, you talk about the kids, and I know that we're well past time. My daughter loves Diana Ross. Loves her. Bought her tickets to go see Diana Ross the other day. And, brother, out of all of 6,000 people, who did Diana Ross pull on the stage? My daughter.
Your daughter.
Boom.
So
that's what I do.
She is on the stage with the person that she idolized the most. Like my moment with Andre, she had her moment with her favorite.
And you can see that in her eyes.
And you can see it. Mm-hmm. And like talking to her is like, she wants to sing. Dad, I want to sing. I want to do. I said, okay, baby, you do whatever you want to do.
She got the taste.
That's what she wants to do.
That's it, man. Well, I've.
Jacob will be a wrestler.
And she's going to be a singer.
If they come from,
she'll be
from the loins of Mark Henry, I only have faith. Thanks for hanging out, both of you.
Appreciate it, man.
By the way, Rosenberg, I don't mind when wrestlers do podcasts. Just going to put that out there and open
By the way, if Mark Henry wants to do a podcast, I'll gladly produce it. Some of you other guys still owe me a phone call.
I don't think so.
I'm asking these wrestlers to check in with me before they start a podcast. Get a little bit of advice, a quick lesson.
A little tutorial.
I guess so.
Because if I show up in someone's wrestling ring without spending 10 years getting my ass kicked first, wrestlers are going to start crying. Exactly.
Ask Mark.
You see what happens in their business if you don't do your dues.
He's on his soapbox.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
Holy shit.
I did it on Austin's podcast. I did it on my podcast.
Holy shit.
All right,
Cheap Pete on iTunes, by the way.
Yes, yes, yes. Subscribe to Pete's podcast. If you like this podcast, you're going to love Rosenberg's podcast. Cheap Heat. It's on iTunes. It's part of the Grantland Network. It's a big deal.
Get ready in a couple of weeks.
Check that out.
What?
My website.
Mark Henry website.
Do you want to give out the website yet, or you want to? When it's out, I'll plug it when it comes out.
We'll get it all ready, worked out.
All right, man. Thanks for hanging.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Here is Sam Roberts.
That's right, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. Amazing to get to sit down and talk to that guy for that amount of time. And I mean, I could do another 2 hours with him. You forget how many stories that guy has. That's going to be a book that you're going to have to get. When that book eventually comes out, I think it's going to blow people's minds. And thanks to Peter Rosenberg for helping hook that up. There will be eventually a podcast with Peter Rosenberg. Solo, maybe with his partner, David Shoemaker, the Mask Man from Cheap Heat. Well, we don't have a lot of time, so let's get right into it. By the way, I'm going to plug the t-shirt store again, prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts for all your Sam Roberts apparel. In the meantime, let's start this State of Wrestling thing. There's only a couple minutes left. Let's go.
It's now time for this week's State of Wrestling.
That's right. So look. The big Twitter trend, I think, Twitter trending is good. WWE is so into trending on Twitter, and everything that I've heard, I've read, I've talked to people, and the numbers that WWE does on Twitter just crush everything else. I mean, I made the conscious decision while Fastlane was on to not live tweet the Oscars, and that's a big deal for me. I always live tweet over at NotSam on Twitter. I always live tweet the pop culture events. Always. So when but I also live tweet wrestling. So when Fastlane and the Oscars are on at the same time, I'm going, okay, you know, which way am I going to go? Now, I'm going to this Fastlane party with Rosenberg, so I go, okay, screw it. Fastlane, I'm going to send out a tweet about the fact that I'm not tweeting about the Oscars. Nobody's going to miss it. And I made the right call. I didn't tweet that much because I was hanging out with everybody there. I was actually taking part in real life for a change for me. I wasn't being antisocial and just watching with my phone. But I got something like 750 retweets off of 5 tweets total watching Fastlane. I think I made the right choice. The social media presence that WWE has created is really incredible. And that's one of the many things that I don't think that they get enough credit for as a brand, as a real company, of saying, look, every company now is trying to figure out how to better utilize social media. And WWE is one of the few where it doesn't blow up in their faces, and it really cuts through. Not only do they have dozens of internationally trending topics every single show that they're on, but every now and then, and this is where it gets valuable, you get something that transcends through the show. And the fact that, you know, days after this week's episode of Monday Night Raw, hashtag give divas a chance is still trending. That's where the money is. That's what's amazing about WWE, that you have a fan base that's so passionate that they'll take a topic like that and actually now, because now you're not just watching a show and tweeting about it. Now you're actually creating a conversation. And that has a serious, serious value. I mean, that's the whole reason to get the trending topics going. It's the whole reason to try to engage social media is to make a conversation happen. Now, of course, Give Divas a Chance is in reference to the fact that seemingly overnight, and I think NXT has a lot to do with this, the fan base, the WWE fan base, has decided that the Divas matches are no longer bathroom break matches and should be taken way more seriously. The catalyst for this was the fact that the Divas match between Paige and Emma versus the Bella Twins on Monday night lasted all of 25 seconds and included two moves. I think a lot of it has to do with the kind of internet buzz that's going on around NXT and the stuff that they're doing over there with their women's division. I mean, they're putting on matches that are arguably match of the night every time, with Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Bayley and everybody who's over there. They're doing incredible things. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Sara Del Rey is training down there. I said last week on the podcast, Sasha Banks is my favorite wrestler. Obviously, I support the hashtag Give Divas a Chance, and I think the Bellas have made incredible improvements in terms of being in-ring performers. I think Alicia Fox is great now. I think obviously Paige and Emma are incredible. Naomi's great. Everybody is good, and you have a women's roster that, like I've said about the men's roster, is as talented as it's ever been. I personally have no doubt in my mind that Give Divas a Chance is a complete work. That WWE put on a 30-second Divas match to get people riled up and to get, I mean, I'm sure somebody over there was starting the social media trend. The point is that it worked. I think it's a complete work, and it's something WWE is consciously doing. They put on a bad Divas match to get people riled up and to get people in support of the Divas. I think it's genius. I think it worked like a charm, but I think it's a work. I tweeted out a thing about it last night, so I mean, I'm with it. I love the cause, and I love that they're incorporating social media, but that's an example of using social media so properly. Now, speaking of the internet fans, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth now that the WrestleMania card is finally being fleshed out as to whether or not it's a good card. And I got to tell you, at this point, maybe it's controversial, and I know the interview that he did on this podcast got him a ton of heat. But after watching the way his promos have gone, after watching the way his character has developed, and after watching his performance with Daniel Bryan at Payback, I'm kind of fully on board with Roman Reigns. I got to be honest. I was watching Raw this week thinking to myself, I am really excited that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar is the main event for WrestleMania. And it is none of the guys that we've had in the past. It's not, I mean, I think Randy Orton is amazing, but he's been in tons of main events. It's not Randy Orton. It's not Batista. It's not, you know, last year you had the Daniel Bryan moment, and that was good. It was a new waste to put the title on. But look at the WrestleMania card. And look at how much work is being done to push the WWE into a new generation. I think that's exactly where it needs to go. I think that is an incredibly ballsy move to, at this point, you've got a guy like John Cena, who still, as Mark Henry has said, has got a lot left in the tank. You got a guy like Randy Orton, who's got a lot left in the tank. You got people like Batista and The Rock and all these, Jericho, all these guys you can call in. And still, the company is self-aware enough that they know they have to build their new talent. So let's think about what you've got. You've got Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar, a specialty act. that, you know, you're going to tune in to see every time. And Roman Reigns, this is a match we've never seen before. This is a guy that we've never seen get a title shot. I wish that we could all remember how excited we were about Roman Reigns a year ago. I wish we could all remember how excited we were about Roman Reigns when he was in the Shield, when he broke away from the Shield, when he dominated the Royal Rumble last year, right before he got his injury, right before he went out with the hernia. I wish we could all remember how excited we were about Roman Reigns. I am excited about Roman Reigns. I hope that he goes forward, and I hope he wins the title. I hope Roman Reigns walks out with the championship, because you're in a situation now where you've got somebody as young as Roman Reigns main eventing this show. I hope they close the show with this match. Like, that's balls. I hope they close the show with this match. I think they should have closed Raw with the Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman segment, Daniel Bryan segment. I think Roman Reigns should be looked at as the guy right now, just because it's now or never. Let's sink or swim in this moment, and let's get him over. Maybe the fact that Brock Lesnar was supposed to be on TV and for whatever reason was not is the reason that it didn't go on last and went on, you know, in that middle hour instead. But there's no doubt in my mind that Roman Reigns should be treated like he is the marquee player. And I think they're doing a really good job of acknowledging what the audience is thinking with Daniel Bryan's promos. I think they're doing a really good job of developing Daniel Bryan into something that still, as I've said before, is really flirting with heeldom, is becoming very self-aware of the fan support for him, and is slowly losing his humility. And once Daniel Bryan loses his humility, that charm that we're drawn to, that Rudy underdog thing, goes away. That's the whole thing, is his humility. It's not just his size and his heart and all this stuff. It's the fact that he's humble. So once he's not humble anymore, you've got a really interesting character, and I love where it's going. I think it's a great move. But you've got Roman Reigns possibly winning the title at WrestleMania, which is huge. It's a young guy who could be in the company for the next 10 to 15 years, holding the title for the first time. It's a major moment for him, for the company, for us as fans. Then you've got this main event scene where you've got Bray Wyatt, who's obviously going to come off WrestleMania looking like $1 million no matter what happens. You've got Daniel Bryan, who, just because he's not in the WrestleMania main event, does not mean he's not a main event player. He is obviously being groomed to be one of the top guys. You've got Seth Rollins, obviously being groomed to be one of the top guys. Right there, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Daniel Bryan. A whole new generation where we don't even have to think. We don't even bring into the fact that there's Cena, and there's Orton, and there's all these guys. You've still got Dolph Ziggler, who's just on the cusp of possibly doing something. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? You know, you got that whole faction of Ziggler and Ryback and Eric Rowan. And then you've got, right under those guys, you got Dean Ambrose. You've got Wade Barrett. You've got John Cena going into WrestleMania to take on Rusev, who's been pushed to the moon throughout this whole process. And he's another guy. I mean, for so long, people were saying that the WWE is stale, that they need new talent, that they need to push young guys. This is our moment. This is when they push new talent. This is how we stop being stale, get new faces on TV and new stories. But you've got to give it a chance. You can't act like you know what's going to happen before it happens. The fans can approve and disapprove of things, but yeah, I just wish the fans would act a little bit less like they should be the ones writing the show. You have to have faith in the fact that WWE has always had people on staff that write these storylines. It's not always up to the audience. Like, you have to have a little faith in where WWE is going. If you have no faith in where WWE is going, you shouldn't be watching the show, period. If you do not trust WWE to give you a compelling product, you should not be watching the show. Don't try to rewrite it yourself. Don't, you know, bash everything that comes on TV, boo every good guy, cheer every bad guy. It does nothing. It makes everything too complicated. Just stop watching if you don't like it. And then if they start doing stuff that you do like, start watching again. They'll see it in the ratings. That's what's going to change things. But Sabotage won't. You know, they flirted with that before. I think they're doing a great job again this year of dealing with it without repeating what they did last year. And I'm very excited to see Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania this year. And I hope it stays that way. I love Daniel Bryan. Love him. Not like that. You know, like I don't, our relationship, I've, you know, talked to him a few times, but our relationship is not enough where I would say I'm in love with him. But as a performer, I'm saying, I love that guy. Not like I want to date him, but like I enjoy watching him on television. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, you finally got championships on Cesaro and Tyson Kidd. You know, there is stuff going on to celebrate. And I think we got to pay attention to that. And I think we got to see where this is going and see what happens with this new group of guys. Look, I'm way over time where I should be. Make sure if you want to get a new t-shirt for around WrestleMania time, go to prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts and get one of mine. You'll be one of those inside guys. You'll look cool. A lot of people won't know what it is, but when people do, oh, will they put you over? Oh, what a pop that'll get from the other Sam Roberts fans. You'll be very, very cool. It's one of those things. But, oh, what's that? No, don't worry about it. Then you find somebody who knows, and they're like, yep, I'm in the club. That's the club you want to be in. Follow me on social media. The Fink will tell you all about it. And I will see you next week when a winner will be crowned to last week's hashtag Time Machine Match Contest. See you then, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And subscribe for free to listen every week to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.